The Wellness Revolution starts now.
Hi, welcome to the show. We are going to be visiting with Dr. Donald Ellsworth and talking all things oxalates. And so, Dr. Ellsworth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Will you
tell us what an oxalate is?
Well, oxalates, it's actually just a simple molecule, a two-carbon molecule, but it's in foods, particularly plant foods. And it's naturally occurring, and we'll always get some if we're not eating like a carnivore diet generally. So most of us are eating oxalates, and honestly, most people don't have trouble eating oxalates. But one of the things that comes up is as you're trying to be healthier, something sad starts to occur as far as oxalates go. You start eating more. For example, a lot of people find that they'll read more about the negative aspects of gluten. You know, we redid wheat about, 60 years ago. So it's now 42 chromosomes rather than 14. And so people think, well, I need to use something else. So they'll use buckwheat or quinoa. Those are high in oxalate and quite a bit more than wheat itself. And then you might hear about the superfood spinach. Well, I want to eat, that's very high in oxalates. And then when you're trying to get away from sugar and unhealthy snacks, you often will snack on nuts. Well, nuts are high in oxalates, particularly almonds. Sorry, I'm hitting your...
You're hitting all my buttons.
So, you know, you're dealing with a lot of oxalates with almonds and cashews. And then people hear about the benefits of chocolate and they think, oh man, well, I know dark chocolate's good for me. At least that's a healthy treat I can have. Well, oxalates are very high in dark chocolate or chocolate in general.
Are you touching my chocolate now?
Unfortunately, that's so you can see that's not a popular topic to talk about because you're like, hey, you're messing with my thing. Well, it's interesting that back in the day, I used to love to have a green smoothie every day that was primarily spinach. And that would be most days of the week. Actually, lots of spinach every day. And it would be over 1,000 milligrams of oxalates. And ideal is probably less than 50. So a massive dose of oxalates daily. And I didn't have any negative symptoms at the time. But I, like many people, started noticing some things like aches and pains and just not feeling themselves. That can be due to oxalates.
So Popeye was wrong, right? When he said the more spinach, the stronger you are.
Well, maybe short term. Okay. Gosh, I don't even know if people know who Popeye is anymore.
Way back when.
But let's talk about things like how do oxalates affect us and what are some of the signs and symptoms of having oxalates? Yeah. And then, of course, bottom line, what we can do about it.
Right.
Because that's really where the rubber meets the road. But oxalates are interesting because one of the problems that they occur, that they produce, is mineral deficiencies. And every once in a while, you'll see somebody whose testing shows that they're quite low in key minerals like calcium, magnesium, iron, copper. That can all be potentially related to oxalates. Oxalates bind those. And even once they get in the body, oxalic acid, which is the form without the mineral, it can also bind calcium in your body as well as magnesium. So it can actually pull out minerals from our body and prevent us from absorbing minerals. So that's a common issue. But we also get into a problem with the fact that the oxalate is actually a crystal that can irritate our body. And it can irritate our whole GI tract, for example. And that might look like esophagitis or gastritis, inflammation of the stomach or the large intestine or small intestine for that matter. And those colitises are something that no one is going to think about oxalates. Mm-mm. They're going to be thinking about, you know, maybe a bacteria causing it or taking ibuprofen, but it could be from oxalates. And in fact, our whole body tends to get more inflamed when we have oxalates on board and the oxalates will make our body compensate by using up glutathione. So it really taxes our resources. And that's just some of the problems. You know, Dr. Hotze is fond of talking about how important the mitochondria is.
Right.
Our mitochondria are injured with oxalates. And of course, yeah, I'm talking about enough oxalates to cause a problem, but oxalates directly injure the mitochondria's permeability. And as the mitochondria goes, we go, because if we don't produce energy, that's a problem. And we know now that, for example, cancer is a metabolic disease, mm-hmm. and that includes mitochondrial dysfunction. So we get into a whole cascade of negative things going on when we have oxalates overactive in our body. So it's such a important topic. Most people only think about oxalates in the medical world if somebody has kidney stones, because most kidney stones are calcium oxalate.
And that's what I'm familiar with, right? And so I don't think about, you know, I think about all these foods that you just listed off and how healthy they are and how much of us, you know, in an effort to be healthy, we eat these foods consistently and regularly, and that they actually may be, you know, too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
That's right.
So yeah, just kind of thinking about about that. So how would somebody know that they have an oxalate problem? Are there symptoms that you might see or testing that somebody might be able to do?
Well, if you're feeling great and you don't eat a lot of the foods I just mentioned, mm-hmm. very good chance it's not a problem for
you.
However, it's quite possible that it's one of your issues if you don't feel well and you eat a lot of oxalates. Now, what I would love to be able to tell you is, well, go to your doctor and get an oxalate test, and that'll tell you the answer to that, and we don't have that. There's something called organic acid testing where you can look in the urine that gives you some information, but it's sufficiently imperfect that I don't recommend going there, because you could think that you're okay when you're not, and you might even vice versa think you have a problem that you don't have. So the best thing to do is look at your oxalate intake, and if you don't feel well, I would recommend trimming that back. And generally, you want to go down in steps, because if you suddenly go from a high oxalate diet to an extremely low oxalate diet, you'll actually release oxalates from your tissue, and that can actually create some problems itself. But some of the symptoms of low oxalates that people might not even think about, because kidney stone is one thing, but just being tired can be an oxalate symptom. Feeling older than you think you should be. You know, I just feel like I'm old and I'm not, you know, I don't have any reason to be that achy, that tired, that foggy. You know, brain fog can be an issue with oxalates. Depression and anxiety can be from oxalates. There's some evidence that even autism can be related to it.
Wow.
You know, you can pretty much go down the body. People often have eye issues where their eyes kind of bother them. They can have some issues where they have mucus and they're always kind of coughing, and there's drainage related to oxalates. You can have problems. There's pretty good evidence in animal models that atherosclerosis can be from the damage in the vasculature from the oxalate on the arteries. And so again, who would ever connect those things? And of course, I'm not saying that all atherosclerosis or any of the above mentioned issues is directly related to it, but it is certainly possible. And you don't want to overlook this, because again, healthy people tend to go in the direction of high oxalate intake. And you could have stomach issues like inflammatory bowel conditions. You know, celiac disease can be worse. You can have issues with a lot of arthritis symptoms, joint pain in general seems to be related to oxalates. And a lot of people who have oxalate issues complain of, like, they're not feeling as confident. They're more prone to accidents. They feel like their joints and ligaments are kind of loose, and they get into this whole spiral of more injuries. And of course, most people who have that type of problem start backing away from activity. Mm-hmm. So it really dramatically affects the quality of your life. So oxalates are a big deal, as you can see. If it affects your energy, if it affects your ability to think, serious health conditions can be increased by it. And unfortunately, there isn't a perfect test, but there's a lot you can do to start pulling back on your oxalates and see the benefit. And I've actually seen this. I've been recommending people reduce their oxalate exposure for the past year. And I personally did it for a while before that. And as I saw results, I was recommending it to people. And I'm getting the majority of folks actually tell me they feel better when they reduce their oxalates.
How soon after you tell them to start? Because you mentioned going slowly, like cutting it out.
Even at a month, a lot of people are seeing some positive changes.
Okay.
The key thing, though, is it can wax and wane. You can have some good days and then some bad days as the more oxalates are released from your tissues. And I'm going to mention her book again, but Sally Norton's book, Toxic Superfoods, is a great follow-up to this podcast to just really get a good idea of what's going on here, because it goes through the details. And the name of the book I thought was brilliant, simply because they're superfoods, and they sound great, but because of the oxalate issue, a lot of people are getting way too much.
Right.
And you don't have to go to zero. In fact, You can cut back on oxalates 5 to 10% a week is what's recommended. For example, if you go to zero, if you try to go to zero oxalates, which you really can't go to zero very easily, you'd have to, again, almost be on an animal-based diet to go to close to zero. But the issue would still be that you'd start dumping out oxalates from your tissue and feel crummy. So if you go slower, it's better.
Okay.
And I think we were talking before the show how there's a lot of parallels between what we do here and things that have to do with the microbiome in general. Like we talk about yeast overgrowth and all.
Yes.
These are things that are not super easy to detect based on testing. And they're not super readily accepted by a lot of doctors. Now, in the wellness world, I will say most people appreciate the fact that you got to work on the microbiome and you want to get excessive yeast and fungi out of the system. But the oxalate issue, I think, is still more prone to doctors dismissing it, even in our realm, in part because you can eat oxalates for a while and not feel
and
bad.
Not feeling.
And you can stop eating oxalates or reduce oxalates for a while and not feel better. So you have to have more of a mindset that you're really going to work at this over time. So you don't. So that's one tip: is think long term. Mm-hmm. Don't think about doing this for a week or two or a month, but do this as a lifestyle. And by cutting back on some of the oxalate-rich foods, like for me, nuts were a big part of my snacking. And so, yeah, okay. So that's not easy,
right?
But there are, you know, other snacks that you can consume that are going to not have oxalates in them. For example, anything that comes from an animal, you know, like cheese is generally going to be safe. Meats are, of course, safe. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about anything in the dairy family is that that also ties up oxalates in food. So eating a little dairy with foods, which I've generally not been big on recommending,
right,
but could be helpful. And one book I've been reading about the benefits of certain types of yogurt, Super Gut by William Davis, talks
I'm
about,
looking forward to reading that.
I've just made my second batch of it and been consuming the Super Gut yogurt, which we need to cover in a different topic. But it has a lot of incredible keystone probiotics in it. And by consuming that at the beginning of a meal, I'm doing that with the intention of reducing oxalate absorption from food. Because again, you can't go to zero. If you're eating anything, you know, vegetables and all, you're consuming some. Right. And you want to consume some.
And that was going to be a follow-up. Like, how do I, you mentioned, you know, going slow, getting rid of it. Is water one of those big things that kind of helps remove it? Or like, and you mentioned yogurt too, right? Like some of the things that can help it. Yeah.
Calcium and magnesium bind. Citrate's another great way to reduce oxalates. A lemon juice, for example.
Okay.
If you drink lemon juice regularly, which I've been doing for a while, it really has some great qualities at reducing oxalates. And by the way, if you have kidney stones, all this is familiar territory because you probably know that adding citrate to your diet helps with your kidney stones and reduces the stone formation and can even go backwards. And for a while in the kidney stone world, people were told, oh, stay away from calcium because calcium oxalates have calcium in them. Turns out that actually works against that. If you actually want to have calcium in your diet because that ties up the oxalates and you actually wind up, and when it's bound to calcium, you're not going to absorb it as readily. Mm-hmm. So it tends to pass on through. The body doesn't metabolize oxalate itself. It has to just either not absorb it in the first place, or once you swallow it, it can leave the body without being absorbed, but it can't handle much. It doesn't metabolize it to something else. It has to excrete it. And the things that help it excrete it better would include the calcium, the magnesium-rich foods, the citrate-rich foods. Also, it helps to have some good vitamins. B vitamins like B1 and B6 actually help you absorb less oxalates. And interestingly, yeast overgrowth or fungal overgrowth increases oxalates in the body or oxalate problems, and just going after that issue helps. And we typically do that with most folks because as the gut goes, your health goes, and we generally find that working on that early on when we're dealing with folks goes a long way towards people feeling better and turning around quickly.
That's one of the things I encourage our guests, you know, it's the gut really is the heart of health. Like if you can help take care of your gut, things just start to work better. And that kind of ties in with the whole oxalate picture that you're sharing here as far as the impact on the body. It also makes me think, too, that it really is, again, kind of going back to too much of a good thing is a bad thing, how we get so honed on things that are healthy that we just stay with it, that we don't necessarily pivot with our body and adjust. as our health changes, as life changes, you know, pivoting along with that. So,
yeah. And if you have any condition that is basically something where nobody knows what's going on, think about oxalates. Because some conditions like, interstitial cystitis, chronic bladder pain.
Yes.
People have seen improvement when they cut out oxalates. Or something where the vulvodynia, where the external genitalia of women can be painful, that can go away with getting rid of oxalates. So even bone loss, like osteoporosis, can be related to it. Yeah. And, you know, if you think about, like, the whole issue of what causes all the joint issues that we have, well, it's not old age. There's always something causing it. And it turns out oxalates are a part of the picture. Now, I would stress the fact that it's unlikely to be the full story, the whole story, but it is a part of the story.
Right.
And oxalates are something that you can, you can get rid of some of the nuts. You can get rid of, you know, you want to avoid the grains like buckwheat and quinoa and, you know, hold off on the chocolate. And by the way, there are some substitutes. For example, if you made homemade ice cream that was vanilla with healthy sweeteners, you know, you can make a healthy version of ice cream, for example.
All right. Now you're talking my language.
There you go. But you have to have a list in front of you when it comes to oxalates, because like there's a significant difference between even a raspberry and a blackberry, which are fairly high in oxalates, and blueberry, which are lower, not low, but lower in oxalates. So there's a lot of caveats in terms of, you know, something that looks pretty similar and is in, you know, berry family, but one can have more and one can have less. And even in the nut family, like certain nuts like macadamia and pecans are on the lower side of that. So a little bit would be okay. Whereas, you know, the cashews and the almonds and even peanuts are a problem. They're not a true nut, but they're...
Yeah. What about coffee?
You know, coffee is great.
Oh, yes. I'm happy to hear that.
You know, so it really is doable. And if you combine cutting back on those foods with the, you know, adding things that bind it, adding some lemon juice and other citrate-rich foods, what I've actually been seeing over the course of this past year is some people who've had some significant aches and pains are starting to see things improve, feeling better. And some of these folks I had worked with, and we had improved, but we were at a plateau. And so what's interesting is I'm always wondering what holds people back when they're doing everything, so many good things. They're sleeping, they're exercising, they're eating healthy foods. There's nothing wild going on in their life, yet they don't feel well. And I'm always wondering what it is. And sometimes what's going on is we need to get something out of what we're doing. And we often think about deficiencies, and deficiencies are very common, nutritional deficiencies, that is, and hormonal deficiencies. But sometimes we need less. We need to think about our day-to-day routine and eat less of those foods. And oxalates oxalate is one of those things that we can address. And it's really not hard, and you don't have to see a doctor about it. You can do this at home. But I would go according to what is recommended, the slow, steady reduction. Watch the symptoms. And you may find that if you really work out this for a period of time and you don't see any improvement, that would be a reinforcement that that's not your issue, but you won't be any worse for it.
Right.
So, and it could be a game changer in your health.
And you'll learn balance too with how you eat as well, as you kind of, you know, balance out your oxalates. I am so fascinated by this topic. I didn't know when we were going to talk about this, I didn't know anything about oxalates or what it was or how it impacts my health or a lot of our guest health. So thank you, Dr. Ellsworth, for sharing your knowledge, your wealth of knowledge. Thank you for joining us on our show today to discuss oxalates with Dr. Ellsworth. If you have any questions or if you'd like to call our office about more information, please call us at 281-698-8698. Thank you again.
Physician's Preference Pharmacy is a compounding pharmacy specializing in custom-made prescriptions made especially for you right here on site in our compounding lab. Compounded medications offer a unique solution because you're not one size fits all, and we believe that your medication shouldn't be either. You may require a dose to be made that is not commercially available, or you might even be allergic to an inactive ingredient in a medication, which may present a barrier to treatment for you and requires it to be made without that bothersome ingredient. Your body has unique needs, which means that you deserve a customized approach. So if your medications aren't helping you feel your absolute best, then consider speaking with your doctor about having your medications compounded today.
Information provided on this program is neither intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice and is not intended to replace the services of a physician, nor does it constitute a doctor-patient relationship. You should not use information from this radio program to diagnose or treat a health problem or disease without consulting with a qualified healthcare provider. If you have or suspect you have an urgent medical problem, promptly contact a professional healthcare provider or call 911. Dr. Hotze's Wellness Revolution advises you to always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified health provider prior to starting any new treatment or with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Any application of the recommendations from this program is at the listener's discretion.